the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. All right, we're gonna not try something new because we've done it before, but I like it, and it's the summer, so we do new things, and we give it a shot. I'm gonna ask you to be participatory in a second, so that's the heads up. We always say the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know the word gospel comes from the Greek euangelion, which means the good news. In fact, it was taken intentionally from the Roman Empire because often emperors would pass on a euangelion to the city around them, and they'd build a library or they'd build an aqueduct. Like, this was an expression to people at that time that something really wonderful was happening that they would benefit from. And so the early Christians understood that the witness and presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit was such good news that they proclaimed it as a euangelion. So what I want to hear from you today, after I share with you first, is where do you hear the good news in certainly the gospel today, our readings from Matthew, but also I'll start with Isaiah because that might be a little easier for me. So I'm going to give you an example. I'd like to hear something that you heard that is good news in Scripture. The 8 a.m. did this, and it was much earlier, so I know some of you can too. And don't worry, if I have to, I can talk for 10 minutes. But I'd much rather hear something from you all because, again, even at 8 a.m., somebody said something that even I, as a person who's professionally in this business, heard differently. And I love that. I wonder where you hear the good news. Here's one spot what I heard this morning. Isaiah, and again, this is because I have a bit of an education in this. Isaiah is speaking to the Israelites who have been taken off into Babylon. They are in exile. Jerusalem has been destroyed. And for generations, like 80 or 100 years, these Jewish folk whose identity was in Jerusalem was taken away from them. And yet to these people, Isaiah proclaims that God's word will not return empty. And it gives this beautiful example from creation of rain and snow. I have to admit, I do not like San Francisco in the winters. Our guests from Florida, yes, it's 55 degrees. Sometimes it's not 100. But it gets foggy and cloudy and rainy here. And yet what God is saying as a metaphor, Isaiah is saying, is that rain serves a purpose. It nurtures the world that brings forth first seed and then eventually bread to feed people. I remember seeing once this, somebody planted the two seeds in a glass. It was like a piece of clear glass, so you could see that when the seed put in, and they put a time-lapsed camera on it. And for days, nothing was happening above the surface. But because of this technology and the way they're doing it, you saw that the roots went down. For days, the roots are extending underneath the earth, and it's not until, like, the roots are very long that you see the faintest bud of the seed emerge from the ground. God is doing things with God's words that we cannot see, but God promises that goodness will not be inconsequential or just a drag. Again, I'd much prefer a warmer summer, but the rain is good for us. That's one thing I've got. I would like to hear, I wonder where you hear the good news, either in Isaiah or in our gospel, in the Matthew. Oh, please. And speak loudly for everyone to hear.
The good news in physical education, 600
schools. Tom, thank you so much. Good news in the readings. You want it specific to the scriptures. Yep, specific to the scriptures today. That is where we are seeking. That's why you hear them every week. So the invitation is to hear the good news in the scriptures. Thank you. I appreciate your willingness. But where do you hear it in the reading day? Yes. But I appreciate your willingness.
I like that the kingdom is sown as a seed.
Ooh, can you want to tell us more?
I guess I'm thinking of my favorite parable in Mark about the growing seed. You can't stop it from growing.
Ah.
Soil won't grow, but it's still a seed.
Yeah. And that's what God God, that's what seeds do. They grow. Other thoughts? Yes?
From Isaiah, you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. Like I did it, joy is contagious.
Oh, I love that. I thought about that. See? Joy is contagious. I think grace is contagious. I mean, why do you all show up here on a weekly basis or semi, you know, regularly? My hope is because you have something here that is worth coming to, receiving, and being sent forth with. And I would call that grace. I'd also say that grace is joyful. Another thing I'll mention, so, you know, but keep thinking. As I love the analogy here in Isaiah as well, it talks about the entire creation celebrating the redemption of humanity. It says the mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I love that poetic vision of creation celebrating humanity's redemption. Yes, Han. Yes. Yes. Yep. And here's where I'm going to cheat a little bit, because again, I've been thinking about this for a week. So not only is that a witness of something beautiful coming after something harsh, but this is actually a specific reference to Genesis chapter 3, when after Adam and Eve eat the apple, God curses them with thorns and thistles and briars. So this is an intentional move of ideas, writer of Isaiah, saying that that aspect that was a curse to us eventually becomes a blessing.
I knew.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal it from you. My bad. Anything from the choir?
Yes. I was thinking that we're not just receivers of the word, but we might also be sowers of the word, and that the sower is abundant and just kind of throws the word wherever. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really, like, it's not on us if we're spreading the word to decide where to plant. We just get to plant and let God do what God does.
Yes. Please.
I don't know if this is the right reading or not, but I think in the final line, the notion that you can, that 100-fold and 60 and 30, like everything doesn't have to be 100-fold. Even if you return 30, that's still a good thing.
So one of the things about historically here, this is why I love what Jesus is doing, because he's being absolutely absurd and ridiculous. So So here's what I love about this. I'm about to tell you something that I thought of, but Mike's comment made it beyond just God. It brought it to us as well. Because in ancient Israel, they didn't have nursery stores. You couldn't go to the store to buy seed. You had to, at your crops at the end of the season, harvest enough seeds to then plant for the next season to get food. So nobody in Jesus' day and age would walk out throwing seed like this. This is a ridiculous, almost offensive potential. It's like, oh my God, how could the sower be wasting that? But the metaphor is that God is so loving, so gracious, so joyful, so desirous for our healing and well-being, that God can't help but just be ridiculous with throwing that seed everywhere. I love that. And as Mike just said, which again, I didn't know about, so how do we then extend that as well? Just throwing grace everywhere. I want you, here's a homework that I just came up with again. Figure out a way to be ridiculously grace-filled this week. Maybe just one moment, like, just say, this is ridiculous, I'm going to do it. Because the other thing I was going to say is, again, back in the day, you were lucky to get like a twofold, maybe a fourfold return. So the fact that Jesus is saying 160 and 30, even 30 is ridiculous. But God is saying, Jesus is saying in God's work that is flamboyantly ridiculous, the return will be just as absurd as well. It's almost incomprehensible. And yet that is what they heard, this witness of grace that is just unfathomable. Others, anything else? Yeah.
Well, in Bible study, we were reading Genesis. We read the second era of Jacob being named Israel. And we had a discussion on what is Israel. And what I was thinking about with this passage is we are all divine. God is the sower and we are the seed. We are all loved equally. You know, we have to do something with that gift, but it's all for everyone. Like, we are all part of that nation.
Okay. Another hand? Sir? I saw you have to say, yeah.
Just the way that Matthew set up, Jesus going out and so many people coming to listen to the gospel that he had to go into the boat.
Yeah.
It's like the gospel is the gospel that everyone would be able to listen to it and go find a way to spread the word.
Yeah.
Like what you experience it on a
personal level. Awesome. Again, like this is, I love this. You know, I love preaching to you all. I love that you get to hear my voice, but this opportunity for me to receive yours is a real blessing for me. Jesus had to get in that boat because he was, like, there were so many people, they were kind of pushing him in the water. Like, they say that, like, there was no way for him to have any space. And so he creates this distance unintentionally because there was such a hunger for this message. Yeah.
I forgot any time I hear Jesus gets into a boat. I'm always contemplating the relationship between maritime, marine, and marine. And I just feel like there's some kind of a logic connection between the ocean and
what we do. Yeah. I mean, so much of Scripture is rooted in the land and the sea. And so much of Scripture is, they feared water. In a way, that's probably appropriately so because, it is still unknown to us. And so Jesus' miracle is about walking on the water. It's not just for show. It's about conquering this thing that people have deep fear of. And again, I'll do a plug. I know the world is insane right now, but I've been to this place in Galilee. I've seen these spaces. I hope that you can at some point too. We're going to try to go next spring. I know that it's, things are up in the air, but it's a beautiful thing to see these places where Jesus literally was doing these things. Okay. Hey, thank you. Like, I realize it's out of the official norm to sort of be somewhat interactive. And again, we're not going to do it every week. But this is something we discovered in the pandemic. And people really valued it. And I value it. Because again, like I say, I get to do this professionally. It's wonderful. And I love offering you my thoughts. But what a gift it is to me and to all of us to really wrestle, play with Scripture as people who believe in this ridiculous, abundant grace and love. Amen. Amen.